Zero Podcast, episode 284. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Alex Shock.
That's me.
And Justin Chow.
Alex Shock.
Guys, it's the calm before the storm. I didn't even think
this calm before the storm.
It's the calm after the storm.
It's the calm after the storm.
We just had a huge storm.
Yes, we did.
Hurricane Ida.
Ida.
Yes, that did happen yesterday. We're on the East Coast, so we were hit by a deluge of water and wind.
Deluge. That's a great word.
I heard that word earlier today. I was like, I'm going to use that.
Shit.
I believe it's pronounced deluge.
But yeah.
Latin? Yeah. So when I say the calm before the storm, I'm referring to
video games.
My child entering the world.
Oh, that.
I didn't.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I didn't think.
Oh, you have a wife?
I didn't think that this podcast was even going to happen because we're so close now, but like.
Any second, literally.
Any second now.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? The Pottses still haven't had their kid yet, and it's like coming soon.
To a theater
and there's like
near you.
There's a
this
chance.
Summer.
There's like this small chance that we might have our kid before they do, which is just very odd because their due date was 2 weeks before ours.
Oh.
How does the human body work? That's what's so weird to me. Then that kid will be older.
Yeah.
You know? That kid will be older than. I mean, your kid will.
I know what you're saying.
Say.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Why am I mixing this up? But when does life begin and end?
An odd thing.
Yeah,
it's a very odd thing, and it's also weird because so we love the Pottses, and
our
lives are aligned in such a weird way.
Yeah.
Where like I might have mentioned this on a previous podcast, but like so, Mike's wife Joanna and I have the exact same birthday, March 28th.
Right.
Allie's and Mike's birthday are within 2 days of each other. And now our children will be likely born within the same week.
Will you be going to the same hospital?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah. I'm not sure where they're going. We are driving all the way to Princeton, but yeah.
That is wild, though. The coincidence is
very strange.
For listeners, Mike Potts, former podcast host, not host, member. Former podcast member.
Yes.
That is him. That is who we're referring to.
Yeah. That is him.
Yeah. If you've been listening for the past 283 episodes, he was with us from the very conception of the Zero Review.
Rewind about 170 episodes. You might find an episode with Mike Potts.
He wrote for the website, and he was he had a good perspective on a interesting perspective on games a lot of the time.
Yeah. We still talk a lot. He's playing a lot of Splitgate.
Is he really?
I told him about that, and he was like, "This is great. This is exactly what he was looking for." Yeah, so anyway, so I didn't think that this podcast was going to happen because of that, but here we are. So if we need to leave in a hurry, that's why. And then this will also be a very interesting recording if it's like, oh shit, gotta go.
Would we come to the hospital with you?
Definitely not. No, you would go home.
Gotcha. I mean, I could wait in the waiting room now. All right.
No, we'll just continue the podcast. And...
Yeah. Or like my parents aren't even, or like my mom's not coming. Her dad's not coming.
Yeah, so if this podcast abruptly ends.
Yeah,
or if it's not uploaded at all.
If you hear someone scream baby and then it ends, that's what's happening.
Right.
Yes. Yes. But for the time being, we will discuss game news and our lives and just everything that's going on in the interim. So we've got a couple of news topics, a couple of interesting things. Where should we start?
Do you want to start with where we've been playing? What we've been playing?
Sure, yeah. What have you been playing, Justin?
I did download No More Heroes, but it's funny, we were mentioning this to Allie before. It's like you want to be like in a good headspace and like a good, comfortable like place. And so I was stuck at Newark Airport for like 16 hours, and I had this game, and I kept thinking about it. I was like, fully charged Switch. I can play anything right now. Why don't I want to play anything right now? And it's because I was sitting on or laying down on the floor in an airport. But I do have that. I will be playing that soon. Other than that, I've just been playing a lot of stuff on Xbox Series X and the new Persona 5, which I will say that the story is exactly the same, but there's plenty of new content, which is pretty fun. So I'm getting into that a lot. And the music is fantastic.
It's remarkable to me that you're now sharing your console with your sister.
I feel like I'm 16 again, you know.
I could never do that.
I'm like contemplating, like, when the PlayStation 5s come back out, I'm like, part of me is like, maybe I should just get them their own console so I could squirrel mine away.
Just leave me alone.
Give me your PS4.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, Persona 4 Royal is a PS4 game.
But if I own a PS5, will it play on the PS4?
Yes.
Whoa. All right. Can you move files over from
yes.
one? Whoa. All right.
Saves.
Game. That's what I should do.
Good thinking there.
Yeah. It's like, what is that doing anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Exactly. Nothing. I still have mine, too. Nothing. Just chilling.
So I did play No More Heroes 3. Mm. I also beat No More Heroes
3. How long was it? What the hell?
It's how can I describe this? It's probably, I don't know an hour count, maybe 10 or something.
Well, how long did it take to beat? Like, 2 solid days of playing?
Like, 3 days.
Of, like,
yeah.
Like, mediocre attention to it, or, like, I'm in it medium, for the entirety of the afternoon?
No, medium attention.
Okay.
Like, medium attention for 3 days, and I finished it. It is, like, pound for pound, almost exactly the same length as No More Heroes 1.
I think that's what I want.
It is as closely aligned to No More Heroes 1 as it possibly could be. Like, beat for beat.
Yeah.
It's the better version of, better is subjective, better version of that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, ranked battles, 10 battles, you fight your battles, overworld that you can spend as much or as little time in as you want to.
I like the detail in the game. I mean, yeah, I know that you're saying before when we were talking about it on the side of the podcast that you were like, the frame rates drop and the graphics aren't exactly that great. But it looks better than the Wii version.
The graphics are definitely better than what we've seen before. And the thing is, I don't even really want to like harp on the technological hitches, because to me, it's like, even when I played No More Heroes 1, like Alex, we've talked about before, like you get on the motorcycle and it's like choppy as fuck and all this. And it is very much that in this new game, which is remarkable because 2 generations later and they still can't handle the world map.
I think that's kind of my thing. Like back then, it was excusable.
Yeah.
That was my biggest worry with this game, is that to me, the trailer it does not look like a 2021 game.
Yeah. I think the visual fidelity is definitely better. It is definitely better in the sense that like style wise, it's like on a totally different level. It like goes totally like beyond what No More Heroes 1 did, but like from a technical functionality standpoint, you can tell where and how it's limited.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it kind of doesn't matter, because it's like if at least to me, it's like as I'm playing through it, you know, you see the borders, right? Like you see what the game is. But if you're just like, this is what I'm here for. You know what I mean? I'm here for crazy ass battles. I want to see fucking blood shoot everywhere and hear ridiculous one-liners and see these bosses and do all this sort of stuff. Then like it delivers. It totally does. I looked at the reviews for it and I feel like they're pretty accurate. I think the Metacritic's like a 79 or something, which I would say is probably correct. Not that that's like, because again, this game is not going to change the fucking world. You know what I mean? It's not going to blow your like mind in crazy ways, but it's like if you liked No More Heroes 1 and you liked what that feeling was and what kind of game Suda makes, this is the next phase of that. And it does. Okay. Yeah. It does some really interesting things. There's a lot of like fourth wall breaking type of situations.
I hate to be sort of negative Nancy about it, because it was such a big game in my childhood.
Yeah.
It's like, I would have loved to see the next iteration. Like, what would the 2021, like, everything that you can do with video games these days that you couldn't do back then, how does that blend with what No More Heroes is? Heroes.
So I hear what you're saying, and I think there's kind of like, there's like a few different ways that you could interpret that. In the one way, it could be like, ray tracing, 4K, fucking 60 FPS, and all that sort of stuff. And that's like gamey game stuff.
And that's right.
And then there's sort of the other direction, which is like narratively, creatively, like wackily what's happening.
This
does deliver on that. It is an elevated, different, more mature, air quotes, version of what was delivered on the Wii. Like to an extent where like there's points where I'm literally laughing out loud looking at the TV, just being like, this is so fucking ridiculous. Like, you know, but again,
that's it's like a Suda 51 game, right?
Yeah. But again, it's like, you kind of have to see things in their lanes. It's like, for as many moments as there are with that, there's other moments where you're just like, okay, this is clearly like technically very limited. You know what I mean? Like I really can't emphasize how horrendous the frame rate is when you're in the overworld.
Yeah.
But again, you don't have to be in the overworld. There's nothing materially necessary about you being there beyond like just moving the game forward. You know what I mean?
Does it feel like Suda51 is advancing in his like art style and his you think so? Like I was afraid that this was going to be more of like a oh, the last game was so bad that I should just give the players like what they've been asking for, which is basically, you know, No More Heroes, you know, 3.
That's what No More Heroes 2 felt like. So like I didn't play No More Heroes 2 until way late, actually until they re-released it on Switch. Mm-hmm. And when I played that, I was like, okay, like this feels like they saw something pseudo successful with No More Heroes 1 and just kind of phoned it in, like brought in a sequel. This doesn't feel like it was phoned in. It feels it was a tailored experience, concerted effort. Yeah.
And interesting parallel to me, the first thing that came to mind was the Crackdown series, mm-hmm. which had a similar, not to the same level, I think, as I think that's fair to say. But the first Crackdown, awesome. Then the second one like tried to do more, but I don't think they had the same team or anything, and it just it just kind of fell apart. And then they had this third game that was like, we're bringing the old gang back together. You know, we know what made Crackdown 1 so great.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried to deliver this 2021 game, and we had talked about it for years, you know, with the whole entire city destruction, whatever, that they had messed around with. And it sucked. It was a shitty game.
Yeah. See, I feel like in this one, it's again, like if your expectations are aligned with your, like, okay, I like No More Heroes 1. The reasons why I like No More Heroes 1 are good, are in check, then this game, in my opinion, delivers on what you're looking for there.
That's cool.
Which makes me happy. There was another point that I was going to say about it. We're talking about Suda and his whole thing. Oh, story-wise, I was actually pretty shocked to find that much of the story is heavily, they totally link up the lore between all of the games. Like,
wow.
That was very loud.
Loud phone drop.
Holy shit, that scared the shit out of me.
What happens when you don't have a case.
Woo!
Just glass on wood.
Wow, that was loud. Anyway, go on.
They link up the lore between the games, like very strongly. Like, the game is expecting you to recognize and know characters from the first game, from the second game, and from the weird spinoff. Like the story literally takes place immediately after Travis Strikes Again. Like, and what happens in Travis Strikes Again, like a lot of the characters that were involved and the way that that game plays out and the whole context of that game even existing is directly linked and cited in the third game.
Wow. I wonder then, did they throw together that game in order to like preface this game?
Well, Travis Strikes Again is actually a very weird thing. I would not recommend anyone play Travis Strikes Again.
Yeah, I remember.
It's not a fun game. But like story-wise, it does some interesting things. But that game sort of exists as like a tool for Suda to kind of like express his feelings about game development in general, and a lot of that is felt through the narrative of that game. How he feels like, you know, certain games like he like had to make, and certain games that he like actually cared about but didn't end up turning into what he wanted to, and like all of that, those like feelings and thoughts are sort of like woven into the fabric of Travis Strikes Again. And then what's funny is at the end, this is like kind of not a spoiler, but at the end of Travis Strikes Again, like if you remember, that's like an isometric brawler.
Right.
It's very strange. At the end of that game, if you beat it, post credits, it actually lets you run around as a 3D Travis Touchdown, and it cites like, he's like, listen, I know what this game was, and I know this is not what you were looking for, but like, see, we are developing a real No More Heroes game.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
This is the character.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, he literally says, like, we're in development, you know what I mean, at the end of that game. So it's kind of cool that bridges into it.
It's so funny that Suda is so like vocal in his in his expressions and his feelings through the video game, to the point where it's almost just like you're reading like a, like a post of him.
Oh,
like you're playing through this game, and then at the very end, for him to be like, "Oh, by the way, we're doing this part of the game that you're playing right now." That's kind of ridiculous.
Like that, truer words have never been spoken. Like he this game is totally an extension of his personality and internal monologue and thoughts and stuff. And you literally see it playing. Like he even like talks about like his interests and like, you know, movies and shows and stuff that he's directly citing in the game. Like it's pretty it's pretty interesting. I think you guys will appreciate that game. It's worth playing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, No More Heroes. That was really good. Beyond that, not really playing much else.
No.
I played that. I played some Super Nintendo stuff. Allie and I tried to beat Streets of Rage 3. That was the game. We talked about Streets of Rage back in the day. And you had mentioned knowing a nightclub stage. It's from that game. And, like, holy shit, is it Seizure Territory. Oh, my God.
Really? Is it back? It's not 2? I thought it was 2 for some reason.
It's not 2. It's not 3. And it's... Oh, my God. That game is impossible. It's really impossible. Hard. Did you beat that game when you were a kid?
I don't remember.
It's maybe. Impossible. It's so hard. Anyway, sorry.
There's a lot of games that were super hard as a kid. And then I go back to them as an adult thinking, like, I was way better as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's way better as a kid. It was weird. Like, the repetition games, you just sort of like
learn the muscle memory or whatever. Yeah,
I think
like
Ninja Gaiden.
I think I first recognized how difficult old games could be and how I played them back then versus now. It's like when I try to revisit like the old Mega Man, like on the GBA or like the very pixelated whatever, and like you would have to get onto the very edge of that platform with the last pixel of his foot, and then you make the jump, and then you can make the jump. You know what I mean? Like, how the hell. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like, you know why we're probably bad at those games versus when we were younger? Is because when we were younger, this is what was expected of us.
Yeah.
But now you're it's like proper game development allows for like a little leeway.
You're probably, I think that's a good
assessment.
And so
basically what I'm saying is that games are dumb now. And we're not good gamers anymore because of it.
It's probably true. It's probably true. What have you been playing, Alex?
I've actually been playing a lot of Prey.
Yeah.
On... it's way longer than I thought, because you said it was on like 8 or 9 hours. It is a long game. There's just like a lot.
Where?
Isn't it scary?
I want to ask you where you are in it, but I honestly don't remember almost anything about it.
It is a scary game, or the scary aspects to it. And it's one of those games. It's sort of like Metroidvania-y, where you have to find different key cards to unlock new areas, and then it's like half open world. Like, you... there's a couple different ways to go, and then you get key cards to this one thing, and you can unlock this chest with this thing, and you get this code, and you read these emails, and you unlock this thing. So there's something satisfying about that gameplay loop. Like, we've all played those types of games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting with the guns and like the powers that they
like
do.
The glue gun, and you could like transmute yourself into like a coffee cup or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's cool things like that.
I guess the frustrating part for me is I'm never really sure where to go. Sometimes it will direct me somewhere, and then I'll just hit a dead end. Where
I conveying where you're supposed to be,
where I don't have a key card or something, and I'm like, where? There was one part early in the game where I had to look up where to go, and it was because it wasn't marked on the map. I just had to fall down this hole that was not sort of obvious to me to get this crucial thing to go ahead in the story. So I am still enjoying it. Like, it's just sort of a filler time thing. It's just weird enough and different enough that I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
There are some frustrating aspects where I don't know where to go, or I'm getting randomly attacked by really powerful enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have enough ammo or ability to really fend them off, and they kill me in one hit.
Yeah.
So that's a little annoying when it's an exploration game, and then all of a sudden you turn around and there's something that's two stories tall that steps on you, and you're like, all right, well, okay.
Dude, this, man. And like the thing is, you're playing on Series X.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I remember you said the load times are so much better.
Yeah.
I was playing the game on PS3, and it was, like, a solid, like, almost full minute of load times in between.
I can't imagine.
And some of it's random. I remember I would, like, walk down a hallway, and it's like, oh, I wonder what this terminal is. Oh, it's actually, like, shooting electricity out and killed me in one hit. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Sometimes I walk through a door, and, like, boop, electrocuted dead. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
It's the most frustrating stuff in the world.
It only auto-saves when you go to a new area, so you have to constantly...
redo all the shit that you did in that one area?
Like, yes, but you have to, you can quick save. But you have to manually quick save.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't remember to do that, so I'm doing that all the time. But it's faster on Xbox Series X.
That is good. That is good.
So, I don't like having to quick save often.
Like, I would feel prefer like not.
I would like the game to save for me when it thinks I'm supposed to be saving, not inconvenience me because it's not remembering to save. I rely on autosave. I'm just realizing this now. I rely on autosave so drastically to the point where, like, I think games that allow you to normally save, I never use the normal save because I'm always going to the autosave function whenever I'm loading a game up again.
Right.
Do we see the irony in this? guys, we're bad at video games now. Games are dumb.
I mean, games are making me dumb. It's not my fault. It's their fault.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Yeah. So are you enjoying it, like, still, even though it's taking longer than it seems like it?
I am. It's just the way it's asking you to progress as a character and even in the world,
mm-hmm.
it's a little disjointed.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm getting strong enough with the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I know when I got to the tail end of the game, I just said, like, fuck it. Like, there has to be a way that I could just brute force my way to the end. And I did. But I know what you're saying. Like, I don't know. I think there was a point where I was just like, okay, I'm done. I want to finish this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. And I do want to play. Well, first of all, I do want to play the Final Fantasy VII thing.
Mm-hmm.
Still in my mind. Same. But there is another
small. Let's do that this weekend.
Do it.
There is another smaller game that I want to try that just came out within the past month or whatever called Wildermyth.
Okay.
Small game on Steam, but it hits that. Remember Massive Chalice?
Yes.
So you're playing.
It's like a tactics-y kind of game, right?
It's like a tactics-y kind of game, but you're playing a lineage of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your characters are born. They get different abilities. You can sort of breed them in a way or, like, have them marry, and then those abilities get passed on to their kids who fight and protect the land, and then so on and so on and so on.
So it's Fire Emblem. What's just accelerated.
It's so that's Massive Chalice. That's the old game. It is by like a famous studio. I forget who it's by.
Double Fine.
Double Fine. Yes, thank you.
Humble. No. Yep.
So, yeah, but in this game, it's like they can have weakness or like they can have negative attributes or positive ones. And
mm-hmm. This is Wildermyth.
So that's Massive Chalice, and then Wildermyth takes that and has other random things happen when you're playing a lineage of characters.
Okay.
So, but it is also a tactic-y kind of game.
That's cool.
Oh, it's and like I like 2D in a 3D environment.
Master Chalice was really fun, and then Wildermyth has really cool art style, and I like that whole thing, like
yeah,
passing on attributes and having random stuff happen like that.
That's
so
cool.
I might give that a try.
Nice.
Interested.
Oh wow, this is a cool tactics thing. The maps that you're playing in are like pretty.
Is that tight. Is that Wildermyth?
Wildermyth, sorry.
Yeah.
This looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you'd like it a lot. Like a.
I'll flip through that.
Yeah. I like having heroes passing on their traits, and then but they could be negative or positive, and you sort of have to min-max it in a way that's
interesting. They have like boons and like
I do like this art. Whatever.
And sort of in the same way, like sort of like Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, Darkest Dungeon sort of has that.
What is that?
Very like hand-drawn pop-up book.
Yeah, kind exactly. Of.
It feels like a pop-up book.
Yeah, my friend tipped me off to that, and yeah, it does look really cool.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It is very cool.
Thanks, guys.
I really want to play a tactics game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that might sort of. There was like a co-op thing to it.
Same, but picking up Fire Emblem again and finishing it.
Did you never finish that?
No.
Which Fire Emblem?
The latest
Three Houses?
Yeah.
Dude, that was a freaking slog when I got to the end of that.
Yeah.
It was long. Oof. That was a long game.
It was way longer than I was expecting it to be. Like, holy shit.
I think I just started tapering off when I had to go back to the fucking monastery every single time and talk to every single one.
Yes.
Because something in my head was like, they're saying new things. I have to assume this.
I did do that.
This was exactly me. And that's what made me stop playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's making me stop.
How far into the game did you get?
I got to the point where there's a lot of like weird magic and you're playing against this like the evil villain or whatever. And like there's a lot of like weird, like occultist magic stuff happening. And, and I think we just finished.
What time is it?
I don't remember, but I remember we had
tool
just,
time.
We had just beaten the. We had just like beaten the Red Army or something. The girl.
Who's your primary enemy right now?
After her.
I can't believe you guys remember anything.
I don't remember very well.
Remember
the main things that I'm thinking were you're growing up in the college,
right.
Yada yada, and then.
And then there's
big,
falling out.
Big twist.
Right.
Time skip.
Right. Yeah, those are the big.
Ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like two halves of the game almost.
Like yeah, and it's like, it's actually after that time jump that like all this crazy shit happens. Yeah.
Right.
And I stopped playing right before the time jump. Did you get
oh,
to the
really?
Time jump?
Yeah. Wait, you before?
I stopped before I got to
the time jump. Dude, okay. After the time jump
like
is the best
jump.
Part.
Yeah.
When everybody gets older and they're like more mature and you're
you're not playing stupid teenagers anymore. Now you're playing like.
But it was funny because we all played different houses and like I was the girl and the girl's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And like it was really cool. like being on that side.
Is she still the bad guy in your story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
And it's funny because you can like align with her, or you can like rebel against her, like within her own army. Like,
oh,
you
can turn your army against her. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I should pick up this game again.
Yeah, it was cool. It was.
I liked my
cool.
route. I did
the yellow guys, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like how the end of like the last quarter of the game. I felt like there was such a ridiculous emphasis on the big ass monsters, where it's just like. It felt like the combat's more annoying because, you know, you have to like break the crystals twice.
They're
throwing you through weird loops because they were like, this is new mechanics that'll make the game more interesting over the course of the next 20 hours.
You're like, I'm 60 hours into this game. Yeah. Like, can I
just end?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting back into it. Anyway. So
yeah, you're not far from the end if you're
No, I don't think so. I think what you're talking about is really what it started like grinding on me when I started like having to figure out how to like break these other bars on top of this thing, yeah. And then they regenerate, and you have to. And it started getting a little complicated. And at that point, I think was Animal Crossing out at that point.
You're talking about quick saving. Like I save scum the fuck out of that game.
Really?
Oh yeah. Like I was saving like after every turn. If like a percentage didn't go the way that I needed it to, I was like, nope. I'm not losing party members. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I feel like
that was.
Did that help you in that game? Like I almost thought if I did not hit with an ability. That had 93%. Yeah. No matter how many times I loaded it, it always missed.
It might have been like full turns.
It's like a fucking. I don't know how it knows like how they program that. But
I feel like
it might have been full like turns like before I moved everybody. Because like
maybe
if I moved people around and like somebody died, I'd be like, nope, redoing that entire turn again. Fuck that.
Maybe you're right. I forget how.
Didn't they allow you to go back in time?
Was that game?
Did, yeah, but I think.
Oh my god, I don't remember anything.
I think something.
You got a little like. Like pocket watch crystal. Or some shit,
yeah.
And then you could.
Oh yeah,
and then you were like, okay, yeah. And
but I think you can only use it like twice in
dude,
a match.
Same.
So I had like a RPG item mentality where I'm just like, I can't use this. What if I need it later?
I think I never use. I would just start if it was really crucial. I would just start the whole battle over, and I wouldn't use those time turners.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, in the last call. Yeah.
Anyway,
you didn't even get the time jump. That's crazy though.
Well, I did get past the time jump and finish the game, but like I burnt out before the time jump.
Oh, I thought you were saying you didn't even get to the
no,
time
I
jump.
Beat the game.
Okay.
Like, the game was beaten. That's what I'm saying. Like the game is done and it was fucking long.
I thought
and
I remember
and
you
being very
the game.
Arduous.
Yeah.
But I played it solid right up until before the time jump. And then I was like, fuck this. I cannot be talking to the same people in the same monastery every 2 seconds. Like, I felt like I was spending 3/4 of my time in the fucking school.
I looked up the clues. I remember doing that.
Yeah, for, like, the items that you give people.
Yeah.
And I remember I spent so much time fishing because I was like, oh, but I get these scholar points. God, it's so stupid.
Yeah, I did all that. I didn't mind it as much. Yeah. It's, like, one of those things where the clues, though... I could brute force this, and I know I'm capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just tabling, Alex can do this, but let's just cut that out and just look it up. Like, there's no point in me just doing that.
Yeah,
exactly. There's no skill there.
It was very, I did find it frustrating, though, that when you get certain items for people, like the lost items or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if there are, like, I'm sure it's the same for everybody's, but I remember at a certain point during the story, you can, like, onboard other people from other classes. And like,
oh, yeah.
You can get items for like three of these, however many people that you can onboard. And like, you can only onboard one of them, but you still find the lost items for all the other people that you can't interact with in that way. And I'm like, so now this is just sitting in my inventory forever and I can't give this person their fucking hairpin back? Like, God.
The hairpin.
It's very frustrating.
Then you murder them at the end. That's weird. It's a weird game.
Yeah.
Fun I really like the dating aspect of that game. But anyway, let's continue talking.
And now you're playing Persona again. I think
I'm loving Persona. I mean, it could just be that I just lack social interaction with people, and I just want more of that. And I have anime friends to talk to now. So shove off.
You want the bird dating game?
Yes, please.
Pigeon
dating simulator.
So we've got a couple of news things, some interesting stuff. First, let's go into the PlayStation front. So earlier this week, we got an announcement for a PlayStation showcase that's taking place on Thursday.
That's
next
cool.
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be talking about like the future of PS5, which I think is desperately needed at this point
because they're all confused as to what the fuck they're doing.
Well, we don't even know anything else that's like of consequence that's coming out beyond Forbidden West. You know what I mean? Like or Horizon, right?
So we got God of War.
Well, it's like God of War, but like we haven't seen gameplay or have any idea of when it's actually coming out.
Well, that's
like,
what I. But that's wouldn't that be a good game for the showcase then?
Definitely. Well, I'm hoping that that's what happens here is that they set some expectations for like what the first.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to be
6 months of next year? Look
what like? Are the chances they're going to show you some Splitgate stuff? Because I don't know. The only reason why I'm just thinking like. You have to somehow like woo the Halo fans, maybe. I don't know. It's like their combat to Halo.
But it's cross-platform.
Yeah.
And it's already out, sort of.
Sort of, right? Yeah. Isn't it still in beta or something?
Yeah, but...
All right, I don't know.
But it's on all the platforms.
All right, I'll just go fuck myself. Shit, I'm
there's
sorry.
There's a hand gesture game, too. Remember that?
Oh, Tokyo... Ghostwire Tokyo?
That one.
Yeah. Oh, that one.
That game looks really cool. I had Deathloop comes out soon, too.
Deathloop comes out?
Yeah. I think the key is that we really don't know at this stage what's happening in the first quarter of next year,
right?
Like at all,
right?
And I'm granted there's a lot of third party stuff that's happening in like February and like late January and stuff. So, but like the first party Sony, we just haven't seen much from. So,
yeah.
I'm hoping that we see something from that next week. But also speaking of Horizon Forbidden West. There's a little bit of a kerfuffle with Horizon Forbidden West earlier today, actually. So today went live for pre-order. You can pre-order the game across all platforms. And one thing that people are making a stink about is that this appears to be the first time that you're not able to buy cross-platform versions of it. So it's like... Unless you get like a digital deluxe edition or something. So if you buy the standard version of the game, you can only get it for PS5 or for PS4.
Oh, interesting.
Which is, I feel like not really that newsworthy, but it's also like, you know.
I mean, I guess that they're two different, like inside what you're downloading is two different things.
Yeah. But it's like if you get the PS4 version, you can play it on both. But the PS5 version, they're trying to make like special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. It seems like just an odd compatibility thing that they could have fixed, but, you know.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Other small news things. Did you see the this weird leak about the Nintendo All-Star Brawl? The image that was leaked on the eShop?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that, you know, the cover image where they had everybody in silhouettes?
Right.
So apparently there's like an image that got posted to the like online version of the eShop. That's just that picture, but no silhouettes anymore. It's just everybody's revealed and everyone is exactly who you think they are. Yeah. So there's really,
list them off.
Is this Nickelodeon All-Stars?
Nickelodeon All-Star. Oh, okay. Ball. Yeah. So
you said Nintendo and I was like, isn't that Smash Brothers?
Oh yeah. Sorry. Nickelodeon. So yeah. Reptar, Toastman, Oblina, Patrick, April O'Neil, Leonardo.
Who's April O'Neil?
From
Turtles.
Oh.
Cat Dog, some weird guy that I don't know, Ren and Stimpy, Aang, and Korra.
That's a pretty good list.
The new ones that we haven't heard of yet. Now, this isn't all the characters, because like Nigel Thornberry is not in here and all that sort of stuff. But the ones that we didn't know for sure were Aang, Korra, Ren, and Stimpy.
Yeah.
So, I guess cool. But like everyone saw the silhouette, and they're like, that is Aang.
Wait, are Ren and Stimpy separate characters?
I don't know. They just...
Be like Duck
Both
Hunt
of
Dog.
Them are pictured here.
Right.
So,
I mean,
I actually saw a really funny post concerning Cat Dog because they
imagine if it was just Cat was announced, but not Dog.
they announced Cat Dog at Gamescom, and I remember reading this one comment that's just like, they're like, make Cat Dog playable by two players at the same time.
I would love that.
That's genius.
That's really funny.
I think that'd be really great. Cool. You're just constantly like fighting with each other.
It's like an ice climbers situation.
But yeah, right.
Yeah.
I heard two things about that game. I watched some of the videos from that guy you were talking about, Kyle Bozeman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boss Man.
What did you think?
They were funny.
They're pretty funny, right?
He's pretty insightful.
I like his stuff.
He does not have a lot of subscribers.
No, and which is such a crime. Like he's actually genuinely interesting. So you watched the Nickelodeon one, right?
Yeah. But he mentioned two things about the game that I did not know. One was that there's likely not any voice actors.
Yeah, which because is that a just, travesty.
It is a travesty.
I love the part in that video where he's just like, you just got to hear their voices. Like, you know, huh. is Blue in this game?
I love that. Yeah, I mean, that's just such a big part of what makes... I mean, in Smash Bros., it's a way bigger deal than you think it is.
Yeah.
That's not what everyone immediately thinks of when they think of Smash Bros., but it's a big deal. And through the single player campaign, he was saying, I assume this is accurate, that you unlock moves as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So not exactly great for the competitive scene, you know, having unlockable moves.
I mean, there's unlockable moves for...
That's true.
Smash characters, but like nobody uses those, you know?
Well, I don't know if you can use those for...
Yeah. Well,
but that's just for the Mii character?
No.
So they actually have alternate... Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, so
like Link has a different up B?
I think so, right?
So for instance, Ganondorf's up B, or no, down B, like the kick can, instead of kick straight like down, it can go sideways and then it hits differently, and like Link's boomerang changes to something.
These things?
This was Spirit Mode, right? And you can play your
cut. But it's not just Spirit. Yeah, well, it is partially Spirit Mode, but then because you're adding stats and stuff to him, but you're also changing out some of the characters.
You're blowing my mind right now.
There's a lot of really cool stuff, and you can play those characters in multiplayer versus mode, which is a lot of fun, but some of the moves are just straight up broken.
I remember that worrying me when I heard about that when Smash was coming out.
Well, yeah,
because that had the potential to, right, because there's broken moves. Like, how do you even balance that?
Well, wasn't that a thing in Brawl or something? I feel like there was another
Smash 4.
Maybe Smash 4.
Maybe that was Smash 4 and not Ultimate, because I think...
Yeah, I remember.
I think it's Smash 4.
Moves changed.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And you can play it. You can shoot different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
I think that was Smash 4.
Anyway. Yeah.
That's right.
That was a thing in a Smash game. They all blend together. Yeah. We're old. It's been years.
Yeah.
But
watching that video... Are you done?
Yeah, I was just... Go ahead.
Watching that video was crazy because I was also... He was also mentioning like how it feels like a bunch of people from Nickelodeon who actually love the characters, like, and love like the shows from back then.
Yeah.
And then they're mixing people who love Smash Brothers, who developed, you know, I'm not sure if you remember this like Smash Brothers like weird offshoot that got really popular.
Brawl City.
Yeah, not
Brawlhalla.
No, not Brawlhalla, but I think it was Brawl City, right?
It's called Brawl City.
Yeah, it was like these really weird characters, and it had very good like mechanics, so it got like a pretty popular following. But Nickelodeon, I guess, is working with them to make this game.
Oh, good.
And they're like an indie studio, so they're making this game. So you have people who love Smash to make the game and make it feel good. And then you have people who love Nickelodeon, who know all these characters from back in the day and like want to make them right.
I would totally play it.
I think it's going to be... I mean,
I think we all are going to play that.
It's going to be... Yeah, I think it's promising. It's got a lot of potential.
The voice acting is a little...
That's a little sad. But
yeah. Because it's just going to make the game feel kind of soulless.
Yeah. We'll just hire Nolan North and he'll just do everything.
There you go.
He'll do all the voices.
He'll do Oblina's voice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't even remember what her voice sounds like.
There was that comment during that video, too, where he's just like, you know, Nickelodeon's not making any money off of Oblina being in this game.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know? Unless they reintroduce Aubrey and Monsters.
Well, I'm surprised.
He's the meme character.
I'm surprised any of those characters are in it, but I guess if they're... Looking at who their target audience is. They're looking at us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Soon you're going to see like DLC content for Doug Funny and Patty Mayonnaise.
Right?
Dude.
Which I'd be happy for.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Rocco's Modern Life. Franklin.
Actually,
and...
there's no way that Rocco's not in this game. Like, he has to be in this
game.
There's
so many Nickelodeon games.
It's gotta, like, there's so many.
Helga. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I want to play as Gerald.
I would play as a lot of characters from that show. They're fun.
Yeah.
Harold.
Yeah.
Stinky.
Grandpa.
Grandpa would be great. I love that they're
Ult is the Packard.
I love that they're choosing characters that are weird, like sometimes offshoots. Peripheral characters versus
what? I don't even know if it's interesting. I would still kind of prefer the main characters,
like
Ickis. I would prefer to be in there. I would prefer Hey Arnold. Like, that's who I want to see. It's kind of fun choosing these other ones, I guess. But
Nigel Thornberry really versus Eliza.
I was gonna say Eliza. I forgot her name for a second.
Eliza.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, she's still the main character, you know?
I'd rather see the little cousin, little monkey boy, whatever his name is.
What was
Darwin?
It?
Not Darwin, the other kid.
Oh, that guy with the... Yeah, they found him in the wild.
Beast or... He had some weird...
Beast.
Beast.
Yeah, no, I can't remember.
When is that game slated to come out?
This year?
It's actually not that far away, I don't think.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the end of this year is not too far away?
Star Brawl released it. Is he going to play a Fall Out Boy song again?
I hope so. That was so funny.
It's just it's 2021.
I just don't know. I am excited to play it. I'm not sure if I'm going to like really get into it, but it's going to be fun to interact with for a little while.
Yeah. I hope that you can unlock characters in it. Yeah. That's what I want to have happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not, that'd be silly.
Flea. I didn't remember that.
What?
Flea is the name of that.
I don't remember them talking.
No way that's true.
Oh, sorry. That's... That's the voice actor?
Okay.
That's weird.
Donnie.
That's
Donnie
right.
Makes
that's
more sense.
Right, yes.
Tim Curry was Nigel Thornberry?
Who's Tim Curry?
Yeah, I know.
I know Steph Curry.
I know you want me to react in a certain way, but I don't remember who that is.
You will recognize
him. He played
him.
Liam Neeson in Taken.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure this guy actually passed away. Yeah, he did, I think, in 2020.
Bummer.
Wow.
Well, this now guy. We know why they can't get the voice actors.
This guy.
Recognize oh, wow, him. That guy?
Yeah, that actually totally checks out. Wow. Now, I can see
I know.
Nigel Thornberry's voice coming out of him.
I mean, he's not like A-list.
He passed away?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I think he did. I will confirm that because that's a bad thing to say if I'm wrong. But maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Let's hope.
All right, let's just assume I'm wrong. And then it says, Wikipedia says he's alive. So okay, maybe I just heard he was under the weather. But he's alive. Sorry, Tim Curry.
Wikipedia has written all of my essays, so it can't be wrong.
I apologize to Tim Curry and his fans.
That's good. We love Tim Curry. Yes. So that game will be interesting. Yeah, it only says 2021 for right now, so we don't know for sure. Slap City was the name of the...
Slap City.
Yeah, that was the name of the one. That's awesome. Yes. So we were saying earlier that there was a lot of GBA news.
I've been hearing a lot about it, and I'm like, why am I reading articles about GBA?
I'll tell you why you're reading articles about GBA. So two things happened. The first thing that happened was on this podcast, there's this guy called Nate the Hate or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know this person. He co-hosts a podcast with MVG, or Modern Vintage Gamer, who's like known to be a like technically sophisticated person linked into the industry.
English man.
Whatever. Yes, British dude. And basically on this podcast, they were kind of corroborating this theory that the Game Boy and Game Boy Color were going to receive emulators on Nintendo Switch Online fairly soon. And this was like, somebody had said it was a rumor. They both were basically like, yes, this makes sense, because like during the big leak that happened back then, they had like these names of these different emulators that they were using, and these ones they were able to link up with Game Boy and Game Boy Color. And then that became relevant because September is typically a month that Nintendo hosts Nintendo Directs, apparently. I don't know. Okay. So people are assuming that we're going to get a Nintendo Direct this month, and the rumor is that Game Boy and Game Boy Color are going to come to Switch.
That'd be awesome.
Which would be a cool thing. That was the first reason why you heard about Game Boy. The second reason is because of this Kickstarter that's bringing up new news, where essentially there's this new fad that's happening where certain indie games are being developed specifically for retro hardware and launching physically, officially on those platforms. So there's a Game Boy Advance game called Good Boy Galaxy, which is like a kind of Metroidvania side-scrolling shooter sort of thing that's releasing physically on the Game Boy Advance.
Which the is new cartridges, which new is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny solution to, like, you want to make an indie game and you think it's going to get lost on the Switch store.
Yeah,
just make it for a different console.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's exactly right.
But how are you getting the licenses to make it on the cartridge?
That's
like
a good
Nintendo
question.
Still has a program for that, I guess.
Well, I think that those started becoming a thing.
Are they
when
open now?
When Limited Run was doing that stuff,
right,
where they were making like N64 cartridges and whatnot. Mm. So I feel like the technology's there, and I think it's really just about licensing the literal shell.
That's actually interesting.
Because if you print the board, you could just, you know, you put whatever on the board. It's really just the shell, so it can fit in the thing. Because I think that's what's copyrighted.
Right. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's honestly a very clever way to get some free marketing and get people excited about it. And there is a market that's specifically interested in playing Game Boy stuff, especially this year, because like the Analog Pocket's coming out and all this kind of stuff.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. So, you know, people are thinking about those platforms again, and people our age have the money to buy them.
It's like it's like an interesting market entry strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, at the end of the day, you still got to make a good game.
You know, if your game sucks. Sure. But can you imagine, like, with the technology they have now and, like, how data is stored in, like, tiny, tiny, tiny microchips? Like, what are the chances that you can have the best, most, profound GBA game that's, like, got tons of content into it, and it's the only new thing that came out for GBA in the past, like, decade, you know? And then suddenly people are like, oh, cool, like...
But you do have to buy a physical copy of it.
Yeah, I think the novelty, true. And it was also not cheap. So I did pre-order the Good Boy Galaxy thing, and I think it was like $40 or $50 or something like that, which is not crazy, but it's also
GBA
like,
games back then were how much?
I don't know.
$30.
Good Boy Galaxy. Is there a dog main character?
Yeah.
You play as a dog in space
that
shoots things. So what I think it is, I don't know if it's necessarily just the novelty of it being on GBA that's making it appealing, but I think like if it were me, right, if I were developing a game, suppose I was the guy making Good Boy Galaxy and a lot of the influences from that game came from stuff that I played on the GBA, like the visual style is influenced that way. Yeah. and I want to hook it to, like, everyone has, like, when you see a Game Boy Advance, like, you have feelings about, like, oh, I remember playing stuff on that, and games looked and felt and sounded a certain way. So if you're developing a game that looks and sounds and plays like that, then to literally hook it to that nostalgia is going to make somebody more interested in doing it. So I don't know if it's necessarily about, like, having something that's particularly, like, high-end on that platform or whatever, but I think... If they feel like it's, of course, needs to be a good game. But right. If they feel like that game's aesthetic and feeling and stuff is inextricably linked to the feelings that you get from that console.
I'm just looking out for their long-term financial success as a company.
It's also releasing on Switch and all that stuff, too.
See, but here's, okay. here's the crazy part, right? Like, well, not that I know, but it's releasing on the Switch. But I was about to say, like, if this game was... like just releasing on the Switch versus the GBA, I would not care about it at all. But the fact that it's getting it on the GBA makes me want it.
So that's what I was going to say. Like maybe you launch on the GBA
and then you migrate that over to digital.
If later. It's all happening at once, I mean, that works too. You know, it's a marketing tactic.
I like the idea of the sell it first on the GBA and then like later if you want it on the Switch, like maybe 6 months to a year later, you sell it on the Switch and that's like maybe it has more content or some shit.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
It's definitely an interesting thing. And I mean, they got backed in like one day. So it didn't really take them long to get people on it.
And think about like you're on The Verge and you're on like, you know, Kotaku and IGN because why wouldn't you write about it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
why
it's fun.
It's going to get clicks, you know?
It's a novel idea. Oh. It's a novelty. But
yeah,
I do like that a lot. I mean, there's a lot of GBA tactics games that I would. I'm just spitballing here, but like if there was ever to be a game with just those assets but like a fantastic storyline that like and it's a lot longer or whatever, I would buy that in a heartbeat, you know.
Yeah, there is actually just
and it looks possible, you know.
So there's another game that was in the same realm that sort of launched around the same time. This one is releasing for the Game Boy Color.
Oh my god.
And it's an RPG called Infinity, but this one's very expensive. To get the physical cartridge for it will cost you $90.
That's too much money for a Game Boy Color game. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. And like,
that's a fourth of a PlayStation 5.
And it's like, if you look at the game itself, it looks cool. It certainly looks cool. Here, I'll...
you're right. Yeah.
Infinity. Like, it looks like this. It looks like a Game Boy Color game. But it's like,
I love it.
Would I play a Game Boy Color game that's... $90 and play it on a real Game Boy Color nowadays?
That looks cool. It looks like Dragon Quest.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the intention.
Yeah. I mean, I used to love these games, but $90 is a lot of money, so...
That's what I'm saying.
What's up?
Is it Canadian?
After 20 years of development. 20 years of development.
I am not the audience for that, but...
Yeah. I love old games. I love old games. I mean,
I love old RPGs, I think, the most.
I feel like it's games like this that I like, the concept of them is cooler than the actual execution. Like, I mean, as I'm playing retro games more and more at this point in my life, I tend to find stuff that's, I tend to find myself playing stuff that's more like pick up and play and short.
Yeah.
Which is why I like beat 'em ups, I like shooters and stuff like that, because it's just like
interaction, like immediate.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like I want to press buttons and have cool stuff happen. And like that's that. So
but anyway.
So yeah, so that's an interesting thing. But yeah, that's why you're hearing about Game Boy. So the other side of that is that we've got a Nintendo Direct, maybe potentially, I don't know, coming before the end of this month.
I just want to know who the last, just get the last Smash character out of the way. It's just hovering in the back of my mind. Just want to know who it is.
I think there's no way that they're going to make something like cool. Like who's it going to be? Who's it going to be that somebody's going to be like,
hey,
good job.
Don't have that guy. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Question. Like you nailed it. You stuck the landing. Like how do you stick the landing?
I think there's four options.
Okay. Give us option Dante? Three first.
I think you got my least favorite, but Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, no.
Master Chief.
Probably.
And then we're going weirder.
Master Chief.
Master Hand. I think would be a great final character.
Yep.
And Sakurai.
Fuck the Sakurai one. Don't like that.
Love it.
Crash Bandicoot. They already put Banjo-Kazooie. I don't think they're going to do another one of those. Master Chief would be amazing and would make logical sense because Halo Infinite is coming out. Maybe, but that's going to be Xbox exclusive, so that's not really helping Nintendo. Master Hand would be sticking the landing, I think. That's like a perfect send-off.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Because it is more of a send-off now. Like, I think like a random like third-party guest character, like some fucking Tekken guy, is not going to, like, you know... This is like, in so many ways, like the swan song of this game. You know what I mean? It's how the game is going to be encapsulated. It's the end bookend.
It's been out for what, 3 years now?
Yeah. So to be an advertisement for Halo feels not right, you know? And to be like, you know.
But he's just so, it's also so much more. Like that, you could still get away with that, I think, with Master Chief.
Well, it's
such an iconic character.
That's true.
It's a hype worthy thing, but I feel like they'd probably want to go something more Nintendo centric. I swear to God, if they do a Pokemon, I'm going to jump off a building.
If it's a Pokemon or just like a random anime swordsman or someone from the Tales of Arise game, you know, something like that. God. How awful would that be?
That'd be pretty terrible.
Pretty bad. I feel like there are other characters that are Nintendo-centric. I mean, if they wanted to like lean into one of the memes, they could do like Waluigi or something, which I feel like would not be...
He's a trophy already.
But that wouldn't be a good final character, you know?
Yeah.
Final character.
No, it's going to be Season 3. What are the chances? No, instead.
No, I don't think so. I don't think the game... I think the game's sort of passed...
Yeah.
Probably well past its sort of heyday.
Yeah.
Sakurai's probably like, I want to go to sleep.
Yeah, right?
Can you give me a break?
So they just need like...
I just don't know who else an iconic Nintendo-centric character that to me represents legacy. You know?
No, I mean...
Because legacy, I think, is what would need
like
to
everyone's,
be.
Yeah, everyone's gone through the list, you know? Pong. You know, do you make like a back in the day like...
No.
Homage to video games.
Yeah, no. I mean, they did that with Melee. That was Game & Watch. Like,
that's a good
Game
point.
Game & Watch was that character.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know who it could be.
Stick the landing, huh?
That's why I think it's sort of what I mentioned.
Master Hand would be fun, but Master Hand would not be... I mean, he wouldn't...
Maybe he's hovering there and, like... I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be very cool. It's very... different. It can't be Sakurai because I'm sure they'd just make him a Mii character.
That would be terrible.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun to put him into the game as a brand new character.
Yeah,
like the creator.
He would look like I have a feeling like anime Sakurai looks like Joker without like he looks like a businessman.
I would love it. I don't know. I want them to be something weird and
throws like, controllers at people.
Interesting. Like the creator of the franchise. Yeah, Reggie.
The ultimate homage.
Doesn't he work for Nintendo now again? What is he doing?
Does he?
I don't know.
He's he dropped GameStop.
He was on the board of directors for GameStop, and then he left.
He left like last year, I think.
So I don't know what he's doing now.
What if it was... So actually, I'm starting to remember. I had a shower thought idea of a character that it would be. Oh. I thought of who it would be. That would be like proper, epic, not a Nintendo character. But I can't imagine a single person would think it would be a bad idea.
A Gundam.
No. If it was Chrono from Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Anime Swordsman.
But anime Swordsman.
It would be an anime Swordsman.
I would be okay with that,
like,
though.
But it would be Chrono. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is like...
That would be really cool.
Like, you're talking about one of the greatest games of all time. Literally the greatest games of all time. That's gone unappreciated and unloved for like 3 decades. You know what I mean?
And you hit the Japanese and American audience.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Seems more far-fetched than Sakurai getting into the game, though.
You think that's more far-fetched
yeah.
than Sakurai?
I don't know why. I feel like they would do Sakurai before they did Chrono. Mm. Like, I feel like Chrono is too, tilted in one direction of genres.
Yeah.
I feel like they've gone into like the fighting realm with Street Fighter and Tekken and Fatal Fury, was it?
Fatal Fury.
But I feel Fighters. Like
I mean, who did they just put in those two girls?
King Fighters. From
the what?
Oh no, the two girls from
Mithra.
Yeah, like, that's where Chrono would have landed. Like that's the spot.
Right.
They stole his spot in my mind. Mm. Like, why are they there?
Don't know. Yeah, they haven't played them.
That was a poor choice. That was like
played Smash so long.
He needed to appease the weebs is what that was.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what you need, but I want them
Dragon
to do something.
Quest took that spot away from him.
Maybe Hero? That too.
But I mean, I think objectively Dragon Quest is more popular than Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, for sure.
To me, it's just like, I don't know. Like,
is there Chrono Trigger 17? No.
Maybe that's me like projecting more so. Because I try to think like, who are some of the most iconic characters like that would be like holy, like earth-shatteringly crazy to me. And that character would be earth-shatteringly crazy.
You know who they add? They add Hey Arnold, and the whole next game is all a DLC add-on.
Oh my god!
The Nickelodeon game.
That would be some like Kojima level conspiracy shit. If that was happening.
It's actually Smash, but like a whole new team,
right?
Or in some way.
Yeah, I think Master Chief would probably be the one thing that would be like holy shit. Like oh my god. For me,
but because I wouldn't even say holy shit to Master Hand, you're like, that's really cool.
Yeah,
but like mic drop is Master Chief, and I think that's it.
Yeah, never Goku though. Goku's never gonna make it.
Yeah, they'll never do an anime thing. Yeah. Oh, so do you guys want an update to Abandoned?
Which I yes, think please.
The new Cyberpunk to this thing. This is the dumbest thing ever. It continue.
Is it continuing to get worse? Because
yes,
man,
yes, it is just. It's just such a downward spiral of like disappointment and stupidness. So Blue Box Studios most recent tweet yesterday, they say, we published an FAQ section on our website that answers most of your questions regarding Abandoned. Interesting.
Okay,
answers most of my questions. So we go down to the FAQ and it is just the fucking,
are you Kojima?
When will we learn about Abandoned? We're working hard to reveal, but it's not ready for the public eye. Why is there only 5 seconds worth of footage on a 5 gigabyte app? As a result of technical issues, we made a very hard decision at the last minute. We had to trim the opening teaser. The 5 gigabyte is actually the full length, and we'll release it soon. We sincerely apologize.
Can you not go through the files that you just downloaded? Like, isn't that what data miners do?
I don't know.
Show me some assets.
When will we see new content? Unfortunately, we can't provide an ETA. What is the playable prologue? Playable prologue is a standalone game with its own set of trophies on PS5. That's interesting.
All dude, right. This is nothing. This is absolutely nothing.
It's so bad.
Shallow.
When is Abandoned released? It's set to release in 2022, but the prologue will be available sooner. Will Abandoned be available in physical form? Yes, but the prologue is only digital. Is Blue Box Game Studios in any way linked to Kojima Productions or Hideo Kojima?
No.
Blue Box is a small independent studio based in the Netherlands.
Who thought it would be funny to make their logo look like the PlayStation Studios logo?
Yeah, all of their stuff are basically like, do you want to see more of the game? Yes, but we can't show you. Yes, things will take longer.
Yeah.
So it's like an FAQ that basically doesn't answer fucking anything.
So it's like, so this turned out like most conspiracies.
Yeah. It's just, it's turtles the whole way.
Hot air.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I've got for now. Was there any other news that you guys saw that's worth note?
I mean, Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Not this year. It's going to be pushed indefinitely for now. Well, not indefinitely. We don't know when it's going to come out. But a lot of people are saying, like, if CD Projekt Red fucks this one up harder than they did when it initially released, it's not going to be good for them. But realistically, it's
I don't
like,
think they can be in worse public eye at this stage. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know what face they're trying to save anymore.
I don't know. I mean, I said the same thing about Hello Games with No Man's Sky, but they apparently turned it around with their fan base. So we'll see. Apparently, the game is still, I mean, Cyberpunk overall was still like a decent game by some people's standards, just wasn't up to the expectations that everybody held it at.
Yeah, so I don't even know. Holding out hope for a PS5 version, like, what's that really going to change?
I mean, to me, like, I picked up Cyberpunk again recently for $10 from Best Buy because it was $10.
Yeah.
Under the impression that that would only enter my system once the PS5 version showed up. Because in my strange, deluded mind, I'm thinking, well, when the PS5 version gets here, then that's likely going to be the best, smoothest running version of the game that I could possibly play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll have fixed all their bullshit, and presumably it'll be the best way to play that game.
Didn't they have something else coming out that got delayed? Like, I thought it was two things that they were working on that got delayed.
CD Projekt Red?
Yeah.
They're working on something else?
Other than I thought it was like, it might have been...
like a DLC or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know. I could be...
I feel like I've just been totally demystified by that company and that whole story and that game entirely.
The story behind Witcher 3 was great. I mean, not the story of Witcher 3, but like the development with CD Projekt Red and like how much they love that and like all the stuff that we've heard from them. And
that's the thing. I went to play that game, that was a great game. Yeah. Like, you know, it felt really good. And I'm hoping that a similar thing will happen with Cyberpunk. I actually went back on YouTube and I rewatched the Johnny Silverhand first scene. And it's so fucking cool, man. The music is so good. So it's moments like that I'm like, okay, maybe this will be worth going through just to see if I can find more moments like that.
I know. If I could bottle that and make that a whole game.
Yeah.
There's your Cyberpunk.
I'm into it. Yeah, exactly. Did you find anything else?
Nope. But, well, like what I mentioned before the podcast started, there is a Dead Space trailer. Either it came out or it's about to come out, but they're showing interesting new ways where you can carve up aliens. And I'm almost thinking in my head, I immediately went to Metal Gear Rising, or what is that game called? Revengeance?
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Right. It has both of those R words.
Excellent game. Did you play that game?
Of course.
That game is so good.
Well, that is one of the coolest mechanics ever.
Yeah.
Like the slice any way you want thing. Yeah. So I'm hoping that they do... The way they described it, it almost makes it sound like when you shoot aliens in this game... It carves up wherever you shoot. Like, how cool would that be?
That'd be sick. Man, I kind of want to replay that game. The music in that game was so good.
That was an awesome game.
Oh, my gosh.
And the only loosely video game thing is I watched The Witcher anime movie on Netflix that came out.
Oh, is that any good?
I think it's very kind of Castlevania-esque to me.
Mm. Okay.
It was pretty cool. It's a prequel. So it's about, you know, you guys didn't really play it, but it's about Geralt's mentor.
Oh, and cool.
when he's younger, Vesemir.
Yeah. I played it. I got like 12 hours.
Yeah, so it's like him in his younger days, and it's sort of what happened to the Witchers, and it's like an amped up anime version. Like, you never really see them doing crazy sword work, or their magic is never, you know, anime magic.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of hammed up.
Okay.
Anime magic.
But it's fun. I mean, it's like in the Witcher universe. Yeah, I thought it was fine. So if you're looking for something to just kick back and kind of put on the TV, That's cool. The Witcher.
I'm watching Lego Masters right now. Are you watching Lego
Masters? Dude, I watched Lego Masters, and I've been specifically watching Lego Masters while building Legos. It's been hilarious.
Love Lego Masters.
It's pretty good.
Phenomenal show.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's just fun.
Zach and Wayne, they're taking it to the finish line, man. I'm telling you.
I like the brothers.
The twins?
I might have missed...
The twins,
the Chinese brothers,
the twins. Yeah, I like the twins.
The Chinese guys, Zach and Wayne, they're just dominant. Like,
I love
like everyone's like, we're gonna make this garage door open, and they're like, we're making a fucking flying pig with crazy ass wings, and it's like, what?
Did you?
I'm Will Arnett. So you, and this is
so off topic, but you saw the week where they split up the teams. Zach and Wayne, we were really interested because it seems like one of the brothers is the only one that's building.
Yeah.
And so when they split them up, we were like, what the hell is this other brother going to do?
Yeah. They turned up.
He did okay. He was the brother that
the fish guy or the alligator?
The alligator guy.
Yeah.
And the alligator was passable.
I think it was fine. It was remarkable that they were similar scale.
It's true. But how the other one was way better.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, it was so much better.
It was on a totally different level.
So one's the idea guy, clearly. But how about the guy that made the coral? Anyway.
That.
What the hell? What was that?
Like,
that's embarrassing. Did,
was that when they lost?
Yeah.
Good. Because that, I was like,
they've had some really cool builds.
Like, Allie, Me and Ellie are sitting down watching this thing. So, did you see this episode?
No, not yet.
So, the concept for this episode, and we're way out.
That's okay. You know what? Turn it off if you don't want to read.
Unless you want to recap on Lego Masters. So, in this episode, they split up the teams, teams of two, and each one had to build a... One had to build a land creature, and the other one built a sea creature. Mm. And then they had to combine the two.
But so they didn't know what the other one was building. It was a giant wall,
it was like
between,
a wall between them. So this one team, the guy's land creature, he makes a penguin.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenal penguin. It's
big,
really
big penguin.
And this other guy makes a small, like, 8x8 square of coral as his sea creature.
So here's the size difference.
Penguin.
Okay.
Literally.
Wow.
Like, what? Like, and it's
2 inches.
Like, maybe 8 little rods that are bent in different ways. And Allie, I was dying. She turns over to me, like, hits the commercial break, and she just gives me one of these. She's like, and I'm like, what? And she's like, it took him 5 hours to make that. And I was like, holy shit. It took him 5 hours.
It was actually a little embarrassing.
It was horrendous.
Because they've had some cool builds.
Yeah. And they tried, I mean, the windmill one was awesome, but then like...
So then they had to combine coral and a penguin into a new creature, and they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They gave the penguin a mohawk. That's all they did.
It was so bad. They deserve to lose that one.
I agree. They had some clever things in the past, but that they... Yeah.
Yeah. It is crazy to me that they have 5 hours and it's like, and then they condense it down to a 30-minute show. So like, how often is like Will Arnett and the other guys just like piecing out? For
I think
like
about that
too,
because there's 10-hour builds too, and you're like, where? There's no way they're here all the time.
No, definitely not. You think they like stop the show midway through and then they come back the next day? Yeah, and they're like wearing the same clothes.
I was about to say they definitely have to take breaks. They're not working 10 hours straight.
Yeah.
But
I mean, unless they are,
it's like labor laws.
I mean,
because
maybe,
it's the Lego Masters.
Maybe you're right. You don't want them to get. You know, like, go do more ideas. It's sort of like the time limit is a thing.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah, the time limit's a thing, for sure. It's like, if it's a competition, then they have to be all part of the standard, you know. The breaks would just be a point at which you're, like, regrouping with your team.
They probably
like,
have a lunch break, but, yeah.
No one's allowed to talk.
Yeah.
Good show, though.
You can only eat Legos.
Yeah. Quality TV.
It actually is a good show. And as corny as some of the host lines are in... Will Arnett, for some reason, the way he delivers the corny host lines, they're funny. I don't know what he's doing. It works.
So cringe around when
he works for me. Like, he says the cringe lines. I don't know. He's funny to me.
It's perfectly acceptable. Although, I'm having a weird thing. I'm also watching BoJack Horseman.
Yo, so that show.
So all I see is
him. Oh, that's funny.
Because he's the voice of BoJack Horseman. So it's like, that. Anytime I hear him talk now, I'm like, that's BoJack. But it's funny. So my quick review of BoJack Horseman. I'm halfway through season 2 at this point. The first season is not good until like the last episode or two.
Where it starts to really like
become because, a show. Because you realize, did you watch BoJack Horseman?
No.
I will say that it is actually difficult to watch the first season because like all of the situations are totally stupid. All of the characters are stupid. Like it's to me... Personally, I just found it wholly uninteresting.
Yeah.
But you realize by the end of the first season, all they're really trying to do is establish the characters and their behavior patterns and all this sort of stuff. And then the end of the first episode, they kind of like, now we need to put stakes on this and have it matter. And then it's like, okay, now it's like, I want to see what happens. And then season 2 just continues to cascade that. And
it gets, I mean, like, I would say, besides maybe like Avatar, BoJack Horseman was through all seasons, like maybe versus season 1. Season 1 was exactly what you're saying. It's like the preface of it. But like all the other seasons after that are so impactful and so good. It's like evenly good throughout its very end. And then the last two episodes are such a mindfuck.
Yeah. It's a hard sell when you're like...
And you're watching animals talk to humans. It's so weird.
Like, watch... like 10 30 minute episodes that are terrible but is worth kind of establishing these characters.
And I'm glad you're sticking with it.
It's like I watched that Beast Stars show with you, I think, on Netflix. Have you seen that show?
That was that weird like anime. It looks like really cool animated, like the animation style looks really interesting.
What?
It's
a weird show to me.
Beast Stars. I don't remember.
Is it animated cool? Like
I guess it's sort of like yeah. Oh yeah, I mean it is, but yeah.
Because like,
it doesn't.
I mean, I'm like going through Netflix and I see the trailer for it and I'm like, this looks cool. Like, just the way it looks.
I think the premise is the wolf wants to sleep with the bunny, but he can't help but eat her.
That's weird.
What?
That's a weird thing.
Yeah. So,
yeah, okay. Yeah, they're like animals and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I have not watched
it. The art, I think, looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks good.
Like, when you see them moving, the movement is very weird.
Oh, I have watched the first episode
I thought
the bunny looks so weird to me.
There was one night where we were just bouncing around a random anime stuff, and I think we turned it off. We didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
But it's good?
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
But
thanks for bringing that up, though.
But we're talking about, like, animal heads, like, animal... I don't know. It is kind of a tough sell.
What's fun in BoJack, I will say, though, is, like, they integrate the animals into the world in a very interesting way, where it's, like, if these, you know, animals had, like, sentience or whatever, like, how would they be acting with their normal natural habitat, kind of, like, you know, whatever. Like, penguins, they slide around, so, like, you'll meet penguins in this, and then they'll have, like, an offshoot of, like, some of the penguins, like, sliding into work. It's
it's not addressed, like, oh, you're a horse person.
Right.
But, like... They still have, like, the mannerisms of them. Like, right now, BoJack's dating an owl.
Yeah.
And, like, she just says funny things. Like, she'll say, like, wow, that was a hoot, and I don't say that often.
Yeah.
Shit like that. So that's funny. Also, probably my favorite interaction in that show so far is with Vincent.
Which one's Vincent?
The three children standing on top of each other in a trench coat.
Oh, yeah. All right. There's some weird, wacky stuff. It's a good show. I'm going to say this right now. It's a good show that hits on some very, very deep and dark
The humor
themes.
For that is funny. BoJack's, long and short of it, BoJack's agent is dating three children standing on top of each other in a trench coat. And nobody realizes this except BoJack. And he's like, does nobody else see what's happening right now? Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And he'll say things like, oh, so Vincent, what have you been doing today? And it's like this little kid. And he's like, I did a business at the business factory where we were doing transactions. And they're like, oh, very cool.
That's great.
So that part I like.
Yeah. Keep watching it. I'd like to talk to you more about that later.
This was the TV corner with the TVR podcast.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We like TV.
TV's good.
TV's good sometimes. Video games are also good. And we'll talk about them maybe more next week.
We'll see how next week goes, Justin.
There's likely going to be a baby here. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see what's happening. That's a crazy thought.
So this could be the last podcast prior to the baby. So
that's right.
Congratulations, next, Justin. We'll see.
For future podcasts, you're just going to hear some crying in the background once in a while. This is life, guys.
Sometimes it'll be me. Sometimes it'll be the baby.
Yes. But in the meantime, thank you, Alex. And thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
And we'll see you all
Father Justin.
Goodbye.
Bye.